Hello. This is a poopcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny. So, without further ado, welcome to Grotty Marakeets. No, Girth Magnets? No. Grout Mandibles? No. Gossip Mongers? Yes. Gossip Mongers? Yes. Yes. That's it. Gossip Mongers, welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
This is from Nibs.
Nibs?
Hi, Nibs. During the 1980s, I used to be the editor of numerous animated series, which included, among others, Danger Mouse.
Ooh.
And Count Duckula.
I loved both of those.
Yeah.
They're brilliant.
The animation studios were based in the Manchester suburb of Chorlton-cum-Hardy. As a complete aside, Chorlton and the Wheelies was created there in the 70s, hence its title. Well, I never. This is lovely.
Fact.
Should we do a kids' TV podcast? That'll be good. Like nostalgic, look back at... Anyway,
no.
I sort of lost confidence there.
No.
I'll do it on my own, see how it goes. Anyway, I digress.
What's the premise? What, you just talk about old...
talk about old shows that you loved.
All right, fine, I'll do it.
Anyway, I digress. One lunchtime, I ventured out into the town centre. It is, I think, safe to say that Chorlton in the 1980s bears no relation to the Chorlton of today. Back then, there were certainly no coffee shops or wine bars, but there was a chip shop that we all knew as the Greek Chippy. No one seemed to know how it had earned its name, and everyone just seemed to go with it. Chippy could be described as dated. It had a takeaway section at the front, but also a section at the rear in which you could eat in. Whilst queuing up for my pie and chips in the queue that, remarkably, but completely irrelevant to this story, also contained snooker legend Willie Thorne.
Well, he was in there.
Whilst queuing up for my pie and chips, there was Willie Thorne and a tramp carrying a plastic bag. Right, let's get this right. Whilst queuing up for my pie and chips, there was Willie Thorne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A tramp carrying a plastic bag wandered in from outside and headed towards the eat-in area. Sitting down at one of the tables, he shouted over to the guy frying the chips, "A tea when you got a minute, Stavros, mate." Stavros acknowledged him, and the tramp proceeded to empty the contents of his plastic bag onto the table in front of him. Hundreds of fag ends cascaded out onto the formica. From his pocket, he then took out what appeared to be a single spent match, and with too much force for my liking, proceeded to insert it deep into his ear canal. After swirling around for several minutes, the trick was repeated in the other ear. On withdrawing it, a huge blob of earwax had been encrusted onto the end of the match. He then stuck the unwaxed end of the match into a fag end on the table, and withdrawing an unused match from his pocket, lit the waxy match end, which burned as effectively as any candle has ever done now, or possibly ever. Cool, that was a hell of a sentence. He then proceeded to light up one fag end after another from this human wax candle. There is a scene in Jaws where Roy Scheider sees the shark eat the little Kittner boy, and he says, "Did you see that?" Mine and Roy's reaction was exactly the same, but no one, it seemed, had witnessed this amazingly inventive yet truly disgusting event. Particularly not Willie Thorne. who you could tell.
I forgot about him. He's not even he's not even in the centre of the gossip. He's just he's a bit player. He's an extra in the background. Is that Willie Thorne in the background? Just waiting to get a pie and chips. unaware that a tramp has made a candle out of his own earwax. Fucking Willie Thorne's there. It's not even...
This isn't going to mean anything to anyone under the age of 50.
Well, I don't want him to. If you don't know who Willie Thorne is, stop listening. He's an incredible snooker player.
Mine and Roy's reaction was exactly the same, but no one, it seemed, had witnessed this amazingly inventive yet truly disgusting event, particularly not Willie Thorne, who you could tell was fed up waiting for fresh chips and just wanted to get his chops around a large chunk of haddock.
I don't know why, but in my head... In my head, Willie Thorne's chalking his cue.
Yeah, he's got his waistcoat on.
He's in full snooker
he's particularly, clean.
He's popped the chalk back in his coat pocket bit like they do.
Oh, God. Yeah, with a pissed off look on his face. Shiny shoes. William, did you see that? No, I didn't.
Mr. Thorne, sorry to interrupt you, but there's a man over there who's lighting his own earwax. Just want to get my chops around some haddock.
Dear. Oh, hang on a minute. Can I just play something quickly?
Is it Snooker Loopy or something? I always felt like that was overkill for snooker.
What?
That music.
Overkill?
Yeah, you know, bloody snooker. It's like, it's really rocky. Yeah. And then two middle-aged men play snooker for 9 hours.
Yeah.
You expect it's going to be like... You know what that music should be for, like, what's that event where cowboys have to stay on horses until they're kicked off? What's that event? You know, where rodeo.
Yeah. Feels like it should rodeo, be, yeah.
Yeah, it's the music for rodeo, not fucking snooker.
Yeah, it's funny, actually. There was just an image of about 100 old people clapping.
Yeah, exactly. All wishing they'd turn it down.
Anyway, thanks for that, Nigel.
Nibs. I think it's one of my all-time faves.
Yeah, you've got to know Willie Thorne, otherwise it will mean nothing.
Well, right, let's put this at the start. Let's put this at the start. Can you Wikipedia Willie Thorne before you
basically be like us when we were 30 or 25, hearing a gossip about Joe Davis or something? Or
who's Joe Davis?
He was a snooker player in the 50s.
I don't know. I'm only 46.
Exactly. You couldn't give a fuck. That's what 90%
of our listeners. But that says more about me than the podcast.
Snooker players, 1950s.
Are you Googling? Give me four.
Okay. So it'd be like us listening to a gossip when we were 25. And da-da-da-da, mine and Roy's reaction was exactly so, but no one, it seemed, had witnessed this amazingly inventive yet truly disgusting event, particularly not Walter Donaldson.
That means nothing to me. I think I'm going to fast forward this bit of gossip.
And then the presenter started riffing on Walter Donaldson for 5 minutes.
Don't say riffing. It's the worst thing you can say. I've had a hot flush. Fucking riffing. Just bouncing off each other. That's when we started really bouncing off each other about Willie Thorne. he'd say something about Willie Thorne, then I would, then he would.
Oh, God.
Chawton's lovely little Greek chippy. Lovely little Greek chippy. One of Willie Thorne's favorites, don't you know? But also the local tramps, unfortunately. With his earwax coated spent match candles.
Spent match candles.
Earwax candles. 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 Delicious. Greek battered haddock. Greek battered haddock. Dirty earwax tramp. Earwax candled tramp man. Putting poor Willie off his delicious Greek battered haddock.
Dirty earwax tramp.
Dirty earwax tramp.
Gossip number two.
This is from Stew. Hi, gossip mongers. Here's some gossip from when I was a kid in Dorking. I used to catch the bus home from the stop opposite Waitrose next to the World War One Memorial. There was an old bloke, let's call him Danny, must have been in his 70s, scruffy clothes but smart at the same time. Like if he wore a suit and a tie to bed every night. He wasn't homeless or a drunk, but it was definitely a tragic quality to him. He used to be in front of the memorial every afternoon, pacing up and down, clearly ruminating on something profound. Whenever a bus pulled in, he would stand rigid, raise his arm and face the back of his hand to the bus with his index finger extended. A bit like he was giving the finger, but using the wrong finger. He would hold that gesture for the whole time the bus was stationary. up to 10 minutes if they were changing drivers, unblinking. It was pretty intense. Then when the bus left, he would wave it off with a flourish and go back to pacing.
No, it's in the back of his hands facing at the bus. It's like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's like that.
Like a referee sort of holding. Yeah.
Why would
a
he do that?
Car.
One bus. And she's away. Goodbye. The rumour was that in his youth, Danny was a virtuoso conductor. He would tour the world, conducting orchestras, playing the music he wrote. All the best musicians wanted to play his music. One of them was a cellist. Let's call her Sandy. A beautiful woman he fell head over heels in love with.
So this bit's all bollocks, right?
He was, he was besotted. He wrote a whole symphony about his love for her, poured his heart and soul into it. He gave her the solo part, but was too scared to confess his feelings and admit that she was his inspiration. Throughout rehearsals, he could see Sandy responding to the music, engaging with it, connecting with it deeply. Could she feel the same way about him? He decided he would reveal...
Mills and Boone now.
Some bloke in front of a war memorial.
Yeah, exactly. The mad pointing man.
He decided he would reveal the truth at the end of the opening night and declare his love for her. It was opening night. The orchestra was en route to the concert hall in two buses. Sandy was in the first bus, Danny in the second.
He's tying these stories up nicely, isn't he?
As they made their way along winding roads through mountains somewhere in Europe, the first bus started to swerve around the road. Danny watched helplessly as it veered off the road and down the mountainside. He stood rigid in his seat, fixated, as he watched it tumble and crash into the lake at the bottom of the mountain. Nobody survived. Sandy was gone.
So it's in Switzerland or somewhere.
His symphony was never performed and his love was never revealed. Instead, he somehow ended up in Dorking opposite Waitrose in front of the World War One Memorial, hearing his symphony play over and over in his head, imagining the sound of it filling the concert hall, picturing Sandy's face when he revealed his love for her, stopping only to stare in terror at the 93 bus before it headed south towards Horsham via Holmwood. There was another rumour about the same guy that he used to steal the
pre-scratch cards that came with the newspapers when they were still bundled outside the newsagent early morning.
Sell
them to smokers outside Ladbrokes and then spend the money on proper scratch cards from the same newsagent. I don't know what to believe. All the best, Stu.
There's a man who took absolutely no rumour. Like there was nothing to that story, and he made it come alive.
Yeah, that was really good, really well written.
I want to know how Stuart's got the time to write that.
Oh dear,
he's got nothing going on, so he's made a.
That's great. Man that
points at buses into an old cellist or something.
Danny the conductor. Mad pointing man Danny from Dorking.
Danny the conductor.
Saluting all the departing buses.
Departing buses.
No longer conducting his orchestra, but waving off his long lost love. Sandy the super squash cellist.
Sandy the super squash cellist.
Lying at the bottom of a ravine.
Squash cellist.
Poor old Danny. Mad old Danny. Saluting all the departing buses.
Departing buses.
Gossip number 3.
Right, this is from Ben. Dear Gossip Mongers, my school days were a right laugh. Me and my mates would mess about in lessons, often just randomly shouting out names of various vegetables or eggs. We'd often shout out, yee-haw, at our German language teacher because she wore brown cowboy boots. One main pastime was farting. We loved it. It's all we talked about, thought about. It's all we ever did. It became an art form. I found I could gulp down air and let it straight out. My mate Gordon, he could suck air into his own arse and let it out without the talcum powder, who often appeared, oh, a bit like Mr. Methane. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that.
Anyway, as he rattles through it.
The greatest day came when Sir Bobby Charlton came to our school to speak to us and hand out some sports awards, which was a brown tie. My best mate got one, actually. He was fast, could jump high, and he was Australian. Some nicknamed him Skippy. It was quite fitting, a brown tie, because he was also part of the fart gang. After Sir Bobby had finished waffling on about whatever it was, we weren't listening because we were too busy calculating the risk of letting a fart out. I, at this point, chickened out. Endless people went up to pick to get their brown ties. My mate Gordon was brewed up, ready to blow. I said, just let it out. No one is going to hear it. Then clapping suddenly stopped and fart. Doing that, isn't it? We couldn't believe our luck. Sir Bobby definitely heard it. His face twitched slightly to the right, like if a fly had suddenly pinged off his face.
Why did you use that as an analogy?
We still tell this tale today. My mate's claim to fame. Me, however, got the chance to dance when Wayne Sleep turned up to our PE lesson. I deserved one, so I let blow. Sorry, he deserved one, so I let blow.
What, he farted because he didn't like Wayne Sleep? What weird school. I mean, once a week a celebrity turns up and they all fart.
Bobby Charles.
Dorman and Dean.
He definitely heard it. It bloody echoed, but he chose to ignore it. Boring. But I was getting quite confident by this time a while later. And so Trevor Brooking
was... He's not mad at two swords.
So Trevor Brooking was at our school for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe he got lost. My mate was dying to ask him a question about Arsenal. Me, however, was thinking about farting at him.
At him.
We ran over to him Well, I sort of skipped towards him in case my freshly loaded fart slipped out. I let rip right before my mate could speak. He looked right at me like a shocked rabbit in the headlights. I chickened out before any response and darted for the toilets, later regretting it as he may have thought I'd pooed myself. Good times, thank you.
Is that the end?
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to different celebrities. I just wanted to know who's turning up next week to be farted at.
Andrew Castle. Oh, God.
Tim Henman.
Farty Pants Gang, scaring all the sportsmen. Farty Pants Gang, scaring all the sportsmen. Fart, fart, fart. Farty Pants Gang, scaring all the sportsmen. Farty Pants Gang, scaring all the sportsmen. Fart, fart, fart. Fart, fart, fart. End of part 111. Part 2 time, more juicy gossip, please. Gossip number 4.
Hi, Joe and David. This story involves my nan, Sylvia.
Yeah, totally does interest me.
Yeah, and her best pals, Mavis and Rita.
Oh, yeah.
This is made up already.
No, it's wonderful. I'm just going to settle in.
No way. She's got friends with Mavis.
I'm in my happy place now. Three old women chilling out together.
Who have remained friends since meeting at school some 60-odd years ago.
Oh, I don't care where this goes now.
With plenty of spare time to fill following their retirements and healthy bank balances following the respective, although not suspicious, deaths of their husbands, the trio routinely go on cruises, which they referred to as their annual ladies' holiday. Fancying a change from their usual 14 nights on the Med, one year they decided to be adventurous and booked a longer voyage, which added stops in both Greece and Turkey. They were particularly intrigued by the Turkish bath experience they had seen advertised in the brochures, so especially looked forward to porting in Istanbul, as all had been suffering with stiff necks for months.
Oh, this is my favourite of all time. I don't care if it's shit.
Shortly after returning home from the break, the rejuvenated threesome attended a family birthday party where they shared details of their holiday to friends and family alike. Of course, they were extra keen to talk about the exotic Turkish bath experience. They had booked and almost in rehearsed unison waxed lyrical about the treatment and its many benefits to anyone within earshot, boring them to tears. Things took a surprising turn when Rita gave her account of the massage she had received. Rita explained with an air of nonchalance that in a Turkish bath, the masseuse will pay close attention to the breasts and perform gentle nipple pinching techniques, which
she was felt up in a Turkish bath.
Rita was. Rita. Why are we laughing? Why are we laughing?
I don't know. Can we edit it out?
Which helps with stress relief. She boasted that she was even lucky enough to have an extra masseuse come in at this point, which she would normally have to pay extra for. Anyone who was listening was shocked, including my nan and Mavis, who it was now clear were not aware of this and had a very different Turkish bath experience to Rita's.
Okay, it's just bad. It's bad.
Full family inquiry was underway. Rita was further questioned over a cup of tea and biscuits and remained blissfully ignorant of everyone's bemusement that ultimately she had been titted up by a couple of Turkish blokes exploring a granny fetish.
What are we allowed to laugh at?
I don't know. Fed up with this modern world. Let me laugh.
Let me laugh.
Please let me laugh.
Things that might be over,
judge me and let me laugh,
over the
lines. And asked for any.
We should have done this anonymously. They don't know who the hosts are.
When asked if at any point she felt it was weird or inappropriate for it to have happened, she did, a little embarrassed, admit that she had noticed something prodding into her thigh.
Jesus Christ.
during the massage, but assumed it was a special massage tool in his pocket. Well, it was, in a way. Oh, which he would use later on in the treatment.
What? Oh, no, he might. Oh, he had.
Yeah. In an attempt to defend herself and to prove she wasn't so silly for letting this happen, Rita explained that after the tit rubbing was finished...
Did she call it that?
The man went to reach further downstairs. But she stopped him by slapping his hand away and while wagging one finger told the man, no, naughty, naughty. Oh, fucking hell.
Okay, we need a lawyer at this point.
As if this somehow proved her boundaries were reasonable. Sylvia, Mavis and Rita are still friends and still go on their annual ladies' holiday. However, they haven't visited Turkey since. They decided not to complain to Saga, as they didn't want to cause a fuss and were worried they might lose.
Isn't that like the old people's cruise company or whatever? Yeah.
And they were worried they might lose out on their loyalty points.
For getting felt up.
Oh, God. This has become a legend in my family. And even to this day, any gathering is filled with people making shit tit-based puns whenever Rita is nearby. Such as, oh, it's a bit nippy outside, or are nipples being served later?
Don't get that one.
Tipples?
Yeah, still.
Peanuts?
Peanuts, yeah, peanuts. Sounds a bit like peanuts.
Hope you enjoy this as much as we have. Fantastic, Ben.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I did enjoy it. I felt uncomfortable at the same time.
Well... They weren't doing anything wrong. The masseuses,
they were
because she probably paid for this. What? They were just doing their job.
What? No, hold on. What do you mean they weren't doing anything wrong? They were.
She probably paid for a sexy experience, so they were just doing what they've been paid to do.
The hell are you on about?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean they? She obviously paid. What, you think she accidentally paid to be titted up?
Yeah, she went in the... She accidentally paid to have a sexy bit.
I don't think she did.
What, you think she was actually abused?
I hope not, but...
Then why were you laughing?
I don't know.
Because I thought the other thing.
Yeah, I was about to reprimand you, but now I feel I should be reprimanded.
Yeah. No, at no point did I think this was anyone was in the wrong.
I felt someone was in the wrong.
Oh. Okay, on to the next gossip.
With less vigour.
Dear.
Sylvia, Mavis, and Rita, all off to the Turkish baths. To the Turkish baths. Rita's naughty Turkish bath, with an extra special boot massage.
Sylvia, Mavis, Rita.
Good job he brought that special massage too. It will probably come in handy later. No, not down there though.
Rita.
Let's keep Rita's granny lady garden private, please. Thank you, nice Mr. Turkish Massage Man. Special massage too.
Sylvia, Mavis, Rita.
Gossip number 5.
All right, this is from Ella. Hi, gossipers. I heard this gossip through a friend of a friend who was Christian, so she was putting her afterlife on the line, aka it must be true. So apparently the Christian gal's friend's friend, let's call her Jenny, really desperately wanted a boo job for her 21st birthday. Her dad was like, nuh-uh. There's no way we're paying for that. And after she begged and begged and begged, he was like, well, fine, but we're going to go abroad as it's cheaper. So Croatia it was. They hopped on a plane and got the surgery. The doctor said she must keep the bandages on for at least 5 weeks, but ideally 7 to 8 weeks. So they hopped back on the plane home. She kept the bandages on for 7 weeks. Okay, so the day is here. She stands in the mirror. Deep breath, she slowly untangles the bandages from her boobie area. She gets near the end of the bandages. She notices that her boobs kind of feel a similar size to before. She keeps on going and going. Finally, all the bandages fall to the floor. She's staring at herself. Her nipples have gone.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Her boobs are exactly the same size, but her nipples have been removed.
Oh, God. There's a man in Croatia with a drawer of nipples. Absolute nonsense.
Now, to this day, we can only theorise where her nipples are. Top guess is being sold on the black market somewhere. Her dad called and called, but they blocked their number. Poor, poor nippleless girl. I didn't hear any more from that story, whether they sued or whether she got any form of nips back. I realised I said, let's call her Jen, but then proceeded to never call her Jen. So that's so that was pointless.
I don't understand that last bit. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Right, that's
I think she
baffled.
Felt like we needed to give her a name. She called her Jen and never actually called her Jen again. In the story, so she didn't actually
have to. I was going to call her Jen.
I realised I said, let's call her Jen, but then proceeded to never call her Jen. That was pointless. Anyway, I hope this gossip was fun.
It was.
Oh, fucking hell.
Croatian plastic surgeons. Probably best avoided.
Croatian plastic surgeons.
Nipple thieves, the lot of them.
Nipple thieves, the lot of them.
Probably best avoided.
Nipple thieves, the lot of them.
Poor old nippleless Jenny.
Croatian plastic surgeons.
Croatian plastic surgeons.
Poor old nippleless Jenny.
Jenny, Jenny.
Poor old nippleless Jenny.
Jenny, 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 Jenny.
Nipples all gone.
Nipples all gone.
Nipples all gone.
Gossip number 6.
This is from Mark in Dudley. Hello, gossipers. I have a story about a Burke I once knew when we were young adults. I'll call him Kevin. Kevin told me this story, and I have no reason to disbelieve it, as he was a Burke, and mad things do happen to him, either by complete chance or by his own ways, Burkish ways. Around 20 years ago, Kevin was on holiday with his parents and his 13-year-old brother in a caravan somewhere in Cornwall. I believe it was around the Lizard. It was a dreary caravan holiday on a park with very few things to do. They couldn't take bikes and there was no other kids on this park, so Kevin spent all of his holiday time with his brother. Kevin, by this time, was around 15. Bored with the pensioner-based boring shite hole of a site with feck all to do, they decided to go for a long walk despite the fact it was grey and foggy. They turned left from the site and probably got lost. I told you he was a Burke. After walking what seemed a fucking eternity, they found themselves in a huge field. By this time, it was a pretty dense fog and they could hear the sea crashing on the waves. They walked to the noise, believing it to be a beach. It wasn't. It was a cliff's edge, which had a drop of around 100 foot. They were looking down on crashing waves and rocks. Bemused by this, both Kevin and his brother spat over the edge. Watching the wind take it and splash it away. They then picked up rocks and stones and threw them down, watching them crash into the sea or bashing hard on the rocks. They really started to enjoy this. Anything away from their shitty shite hole that they'd been cooped up in. Rocks got larger and bigger till eventually they were using teamwork to throw huge boulders.
Oh, boys, basic.
It had been years they'd worked together on a project, and this appeared meaningful to them. Eventually, after running out of rocks and wood posts to hurl, they walked across the field and found sticking out of the ground, leaning to one side, what looked like an old fence post. It was concrete and was battered, but they could see the bottom of it, and after 15 minutes of pushing, shoving, digging and pulling, they managed
Please
to...
Please don't say it. It's not great stuff.
They managed to pull the concrete post right out. They noticed that there was an old rusty chain still attached to it. They ignored this chain as it was piled under long grass of the shitty field and assumed it would just follow the post down. Eventually, working hard as a team, they dragged this to the cliff's edge.
This is so bad.
Using each other to count down, they shouted bombs away as they shoved the post over the edge. Flew down, followed by the chain, till the chain tightened around halfway down. However, slowly and surely, the block still fell, but slowly at first, then speeding up faster and faster.
Oh, my God.
While the lads, confused with what was happening, watched this, they heard a wail, a cry getting louder and nearer by the seconds. The full weight of the block and chain was flying over the cliff. They had no time to react, as the goat, whose ankle the chain...
Oh, no. Oh, God.
They had no time to react whose ankle...
Can you edit out my laugh?
This isn't true, is it? They had no time to react.
How do you make this up?
As the goat whose ankle the chain was attached to was being slowly dragged across the field straight over the cliff's edge. Crying and wailing stopped abruptly as the two lads made a fucking run for it. They didn't stay to look at the fucking horrible mess they'd made. They legged it out the field onto the road and asked for directions back to the ship for campsite, firmly away from the area as fast as their shaking legs could carry them. The rest of the week, they stayed on the site and learned how to play backgammon with a strange old bloke from the caravan next door who was on holiday on his own. That's horrible. It's not true. I'm not having that.
Well,
not having that.
I hope not, but
yeah. God,
it's funny. Fucking hell.
To me, it's just a cartoon goat, not a real one. And that's making me feel better about myself.
What colour's the goat in your head?
White with black legs.
Yeah, me too.
Isn't that what a goat is?
They're not all white with black legs, are they?
I don't know.
Hardly farmers, are we?
Oh, dear.
That was great fun.
Kevin the Burke and his brother making a nuisance of themselves.
Kevin the Burke.
Chucking rocks and stones and fence posts over a cliff edge.
Kevin the Burke.
Better off playing backgammon, really, instead of inadvertently tossing an innocent goat over a cliff to its gruesome death.
To its gruesome death.
Half-wit Kevin. What an utter fucking Burke.
Kevin the Burke.
Tossing an innocent goat over a cliff.
Kevin the Burke.
To its gruesome death.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat. Nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.